Welcome to CGNet Tech Talk, our periodic discussion series of issues of interest to the foundation and nonprofit community. Today we have as our guest Dan Callahan, the Vice President of Product Management at CGNet, and he's going to talk to us about how to decide whether or not to get Office 365. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Tim. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you. By now, practically everybody has heard something about Office 365, but what do you consider to be the best description of it?
Well, Office 365 is a little bit like all the blind men touching the elephant, because depending on who you ask, you can get a different answer. So I like to start out by pointing out for people that Office 365 is a moving target. And what I mean by that is, like any software as a service offering, it's constantly changing. So the capabilities evolve over time, and this can be important for people because if you're looking up information on Office 365 and you find, for instance, something that maybe it doesn't do today, you have to make sure that you're looking at current information because you may well find that the service has changed since the time that information you are looking at has been published, and the product today or the service today is different than it was, say, 6 months ago.
What would you say it is today?
Well, so today, Office 365 it's really a menu of services that Microsoft offers, and exactly what's in those services is determined by the customer when they subscribe to the service. So the elements of it are Exchange Online, which is used for messaging, SharePoint Online, which is a document management and collaboration tool, Link Online, which is an instant messaging, presence, and PC-to-PC voice or video calling service. And then there's also Office Web Apps, and these are web versions of Office applications like Word and Excel. And then some plans also include licenses for the desktop application for Office 2010 or 2013. So exactly what Office 365 is depends on each customer, because you can basically mix and match any of those items into a bundle that suits your needs.
You can also get a link that can serve as your PBX. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's right. However, the link functionality that replaces your PBX is only available in the on-premise version of Link. It's not available today in the online version. There are, however, some voice calling features that are included in the Link Online. And as I said earlier, Office 365 is an evolving service, so I would expect to continue to see an evolution of what kinds of voice calling features are supported on Link Online.
So with all these different versions out there, that can get confusing. How do you decide which version is right for you?
Well, I think to figure out which version is right for you, the first thing is to understand what's the sort of entry point in moving some of your services into the cloud. And for many people, that's Exchange or their messaging. They often start with that thinking, you know, I'm ready to be done with managing Exchange servers on my own, or paying a hosting provider to host them and take care of them, and I'd rather just move all of that into the cloud, let Microsoft take care of that. So the first thing is, you know, what's the anchor point in that attracts you to Office 365 to begin with? And then what makes sense beyond that is to really look at the economics of adding in some of these other services on an a la carte basis versus subscribing to one of the bundles that Microsoft offers.
You mean you could start with Exchange and then you could add other things as you go along?
Absolutely, yeah. So you could, for instance, start with Exchange Online and just keep it at that if you wanted. You might decide, well, I'm going to get Exchange Online and I like the idea of the instant messaging, so I'm going to add Link Online to that. And then you might find that actually the a la carte price of combining Exchange Online and Link Online is actually more than the bundle price for one of the other packages that Microsoft offers. And in that case, you might decide, even if it's just for economic reasons, to sign up for one of those bundles of services.
So if you started off with just Exchange and you decided then to upgrade to a bundle, they'll let you do that?
Yeah, it's very easy to upgrade. It's very easy to, you know, add on or adjust your subscription. And the nice thing is that in almost all cases, You don't have to sort of restart as far as migrate your data from one plan to another. As long as it's in a Microsoft plan of one sort or another, then, for instance, when you add SharePoint Online to Exchange Online, you're just adding that service, and it doesn't really affect your Exchange Online data store.
So how much do these different things cost?
Well, the answer to that question, of course, is it depends. And this makes me sound like a consultant, I suppose. But the answer really is it depends on what particular bundle you're putting together. I can tell you that the range of prices is as low as $4 per user per month. That's if you're buying just the standard version of Exchange Online. And then if you were to get one of the more full-featured bundles from Microsoft, you might be paying up to $22 per user per month. And then these are all, you know, what I call retail rates, meaning these are the rates that you see if you go to Microsoft's website and, you know, fish around and find some of the plans and see what the pricing is.
So a lot of our listeners are nonprofits or from nonprofits. How about nonprofit pricing?
So that's a good question. There is nonprofit pricing available. It's available to qualifying 501c3 nonprofits in the U.S. And there's a bit of a process to go through to apply for that and obtain that pricing. And I can answer that for any of your listeners that might be interested. But with the nonprofit pricing that's available, Microsoft does offer a couple of different plans. So in other words, you can't just pick any service you want and apply a nonprofit discount to it. They have just a couple of specific plans that they make available on a nonprofit basis. However, those plans are very aggressively discounted from the retail rates, so they're actually quite attractive.
So now that we know the basics about Office 365, how should we decide whether or not to move there or whether we should stay with what we have?
The decision about whether you should move to Office 365 or stay with what you have, it revolves around a couple of considerations, and the first one, not surprisingly, is economics. What you're going to be comparing typically here is, what does it cost me to stand up a server, run it for 3 years, acquire both the hardware and the software licenses, such as the Exchange CALs and so on? What's that capital outlay versus what am I going to spend over, say, an equivalent three-year term if I sign up my users on a per-user, per-month basis? So that's the first one to look at. And, of course, you want to look not only at the hardware and software costs, but you probably also want to think about what moving to a cloud-based service like Office 365 is going to do to your IT staff costs. You know, are you going to be spending more or less because you're not paying attention to worrying about server upgrades, for instance? So you want to take those things into account. And there used to be a sort of a crossover point of about 250 users where if you were above that point, it probably made sense to continue running an on-premise or maybe a private cloud type of Exchange service versus Office 365. But I found that now a lot of customers that are in, you know, 500 to 1,000 users are often finding it, you know, economical to move to Office 365.
Well, I suppose one of the considerations might be if you were at a point where you were thinking about upgrading Exchange.
Yes, and we've seen a lot of customers have come to us and expressed interest because they're looking at upgrading, say, from Exchange 2003 or 2007 to, you know, the latest version of Exchange, and that's sort of a natural point to say, to look at a make versus buy decision. And so in this case, to look and say, well, if I have to upgrade anyway, do I really want to upgrade to another server, which, you know, pretty much signs me up for 3 years of maintaining that server, or do I want to just look at moving to Office 365, and move in that direction?
Well, also, is it an issue if you're thinking about upgrading to Office 2013?
Well, that does play a factor into the consideration because Office 365 has plans that include subscriptions to the Office Productivity Suite, what used to be the only Office in town, in terms of nomenclature. And so if you're also looking at, you know, if you have an organization and you're looking at upgrading everybody's desktops from Office 2007 or 2010 to Office 2013, then you want to take into account how much it's going to cost you to source that Office 2013 desktop software and compare that to what you're paying if you were to sign up for one of these Office 365 plans where they provide you with the software for free as part of the subscription.
Yeah, I understand they actually provide each user with 5 licenses, is that right?
Yeah, they do. You get 5 licenses of Office 2013 to use per user, and this is a really attractive offering because obviously you can put one of those licenses on your desktop, but then if you have a laptop, which many people also have, you can put use one of the licenses for that, and you can use another license for, say, a home computer. So you can actually, you know, provide the same kind of office experience for users, whether they're working in the office or on the road or at home.
So beyond the economics, what are some of the other things you ought to take into consideration?
Well, there's a couple of other things. One of them has to do with what kind of IT expertise you have in-house. And many organizations, particularly smaller ones, have at best a part-time IT person on staff, and often that person is not really an IT administrator by training. It's more a function that's fallen to them. So if you're kind of light on the IT experience in-house, then it often makes sense to look at Office 365 because you still need to worry about administering the service when it comes to setting up users and that kind of thing. But all of the details about running servers and backing them up and making sure the software is current, you know, that is basically a function you turn over to Microsoft and let them worry about that.
Right, and they provide business continuity too, right?
Yes, they do. So they have a 99.9% SLA they offer with the service. And it's financially backed, meaning if they fail to meet that, you can basically ask them for some money back.
Okay, so are there any other considerations we should think about?
Well, there's a couple of other things. As I said, you know, I've been seeing even some large organizations move to Office 365, and of course these people have plenty of trained IT staff in-house. And what I'm finding is that some of those organizations are basically saying, I only have a certain amount of time in my day as an IT person, and I'm being, you know, tasked more and more by the organization to think about how IT aligns with the business. And they're worrying about questions like, you know, how do we put together a social media strategy and how's that fit and so on and so forth. And some of these people are saying, you know, I don't really feel the need to be a server management utility anymore. I'm going to turn that over to somebody else so I can worry about these other problems that are key to the business. So, you know, that's a consideration in favor of moving to Office 365. There are some organizations who have a concern about the privacy of their data, and I'm not referring so much to whether Microsoft's going to look at their data, which, you know, they've assured people they're not. But some of these organizations are concerned that maybe a government is going to go to Microsoft and say, okay, I want to get access to the data center and I want to look at the messages of this particular organization. And so I've seen some organizations that have elected, even though on all other counts Office 365 would make sense to them, you know, they've elected to go ahead and keep their data on-premise just because they're wanting to make sure that they protect themselves against that kind of possibility.
Do you have any way of knowing when you sign up for Office 365 what country your data is going to be hosted in?
In theory, your data could be hosted anywhere. However, Microsoft, by policy, will host your data in a data center that's closest to your organization. And they do that mainly for reasons of minimizing any kind of latency and delay in terms of accessing your data.
So there's a pretty good chance that if you're in the United States, for example, that your data will be hosted in the United States.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Dan, this has been really great talking to you, and I know that the Office 365 story goes on into questions of implementation and maintenance and things of that sort. Maybe we could have you back another time to talk about those issues.
Absolutely, Tim. I'd be more than happy to do that.
Well, thanks a lot and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.